As an engineering leader, you know firsthand that achieving work-life balance can be hard. Many business owners struggle with the balance between their personal lives and their work. This leads to stress and a feeling of regret. But that's not the case for the listeners of the Engineer Your Success podcast with Dr. James Bryant. This podcast provides tools, tips, and techniques to help you achieve success both in business and in life. Tune in. Let's engineer your success today. I want to welcome you to the Engineer Your Success podcast. I am Dr. James Bryant, your host for the show. This podcast provides tools, tips, and techniques to help you achieve success both in business and in life. It is my pleasure to guide you on your journey to designing and living a life where you are winning at work and at home. I hope that you are having a great day and a great week. So today we're going to continue our discussion on winning the workforce war. This is a series where we've been discussing ways to help small businesses and leaders better navigate some of the workforce issues that may exist within our organizations. This is going to be the last episode within this particular series. It won't be the last time that we hit on workforce issues, but this will be the last one in the Winning the War on Workforce series. One thing I want to mention before we even get into today's episode is that we have a very diverse listening audience that includes small business owners, corporate executives, managers, mid-level managers, engineers, field personnel, office personnel. And so while our listeners may serve distinct roles within their organizations, some of them are in the AEC industries, some are in the highway maintenance industry, but they may serve distinct roles. One thing is abundantly clear, and that is you are a person first, and you serve your role within the organization second. I often say that engineers are people too, and the same issues that people face, engineers face. This is true of managers, frontline workers, the owner. Regardless of the role, you face the same issues that everyone faces. And I say that just to mention that these are workforce issues and we're dealing with people. Dealing with people is messy. Leading people is challenging, and growing in your ability to lead and to effectively communicate is a must if you want to keep your organization or your team positively moving forward to help you and your organization achieve your goals. Our industry stands at the precipice of change. You have technological advancements, AI, whether you're talking about augmented reality, all of technological advancements are here. You also have shifting employee expectations, all while you're striking the balance between the needs of your in-office team and your remote team and any field personnel that you may have. So today we're going to be diving into strategies to future-proof your leadership, ensuring that your firm not only can withstand, but thrive in the midst of these changes. Here's a brief summary of the other episodes that we've covered in this series. We're going to start at What Employees Really Want. That was episode 133, where we learned that employees seek more than just compensation. They crave purpose, work-life balance, and a culture that aligns with their values, especially in our field where projects can span for months to years, particularly in the design and construction area. Understanding these needs is really critical for retention and satisfaction. In episode 134, we talked about building a company culture that sticks. And there, our discussion underscored the importance of cultivating a culture and the fact that your company has a culture, whether you know it or not, and your team has a culture, whether you know it or not. But the question is, are you shaping that culture by happenstance? Or is that culture being shaped intentionally? The next thing that we covered, we talked about the power of values. That was in episode 135, where we really looked at how strong values form the bedrock for a flourishing company culture. And so in our sector, in most sectors, teamwork is paramount. Whether you're talking about in the design room at the construction site, whether you're doing field maintenance, the shared values really guide decision-making that enhance collaboration and foster a sense of community. Last week, we talked about maximizing potential, but the focus there was growing employees through both personal and professional development. Just the whole fact that continuous learning is not just beneficial, it's necessary, from new field techniques to advancements in software, equipping teams with the skills to adapt is a key driver of success. And those skills are not just the technical skills, but the soft skills, the leadership skills, the communication skills. All of that is a must. So when we think about today's episode, what does it mean to future-proof your leadership? Future-proofing your leadership refers to the process of developing and adapting your leadership skills and strategies to remain effective and relevant in the face of future challenges and changes within your industry. You're working to help your organization thrive in the midst of the evolving workforce dynamics, those technological advancements we talked about, in general, the shifting market demands. Now that we have a general definition or understanding what future-proofing would be in terms of this discussion, how do you know if it's something that you need to consider or adapt? Because there's some people that are going to be listening to this episode and they're going to say, we're fine. We don't need to make any changes yet. Things seem to be running smoothly. So I wanted to spend a little bit of time recognizing some things that you can do that can help you recognize the need that you may need to adapt, right? So recognizing the need to adapt your leadership is crucial for staying effective and future-proofing. So here are some indicators that may suggest a need for change. So number one indicator would be decreased team engagement. So if you notice a drop in your team engagement, enthusiasm, or motivation, it may be a sign that your leadership style, whether it's you as an individual or you as an organization, is not resonating with your team's current needs or expectations. Number two, all has to do with retention in terms of having increased turnover rates. A higher than normal turnover rate can indicate that employees are seeking opportunities elsewhere that better align with their values, their work-life balance preferences, or their career development aspirations. So number two is keeping the talent. Number three is attracting the talent. So if you're struggling to attract new talent, especially from younger generations, that could suggest that your approach, your company culture, needs to be aligned with the evolving workforce expectations and those needs. Indicator number four is stagnation in innovation. So if your team organization is lagging in innovation or failing to keep up with industry advancements, it might be time to reassess your approach to encouraging creativity, to embracing new technologies. Number five is communication breakdowns. If there are frequent misunderstandings, lack of clear direction, or the feedback loops that are either non-existent or ineffective, these could be signs that your communication style is not working and you may need to do something to future-proof your leadership. And if you experience within your organization a continued resistance to change, if you or your team are resisting change, especially in the face of new industry trends, technologies, or methodologies, this can be a significant indicator that something needs to happen, because the one thing that is absolutely consistent is change. So if you're experiencing these symptoms, it may be time for you to consider some of the future-proofing strategies that we are about to talk about. And number one is understanding change is going to happen, so you want to embrace change. In our rapidly evolving industry, embracing change is not just a strategy, it's a necessity. Change will happen if we like it or not. Change is the one thing that is constant. This requires us to be adaptive, visionary, and above all else, open to the inevitable shifts that technology and society will bring at our doorstep. Number two is very similar, and that is adaptability. So in this case, adaptability is about fostering a mindset within our teams that sees things change not as a hurdle, but as an opportunity to innovate, to improve, to redefine what's possible. For me, this is the essence of what working in the highway maintenance field really meant when I was there and overseeing maintenance on highways and bridges and even dealing with the research projects. It's adapting to your circumstances and finding a solution, whether it's integrating sustainable materials into projects, adopting to some digital software, some frameworks to get more accurate designs or accurate simulations, whether it's leveraging drones to do bridge surveys or site surveys. Our willingness to adapt really sets the tone for our entire organization, and it sets the tone for finding solutions and solutions that are out of the box, because the new technologies, the new thought processes may open up for you new ways of solving problems. And you want to unlock that within your workforce. And that brings us to number three, which is thinking of innovation as a cultural pillar. So creating a culture that breathes innovation starts with you, the leader. So when we as leaders demonstrate our commitment to exploring new ideals and technologies, we inspire our teams to do the same. This doesn't mean that we're chasing every new trend, but rather we're cultivating a discerning eye for what changes will truly benefit our projects, our clients, our workforce, and our companies. It's about strategic innovation, investing in technologies and methodologies that enhance our work's efficiency, quality, and our impact. Along with that is number four in terms of future-proofing, and that is flexibility in your work arrangement. So the concept of flexibility, especially now, extends beyond project methodologies. It includes the how and where we work. How do we get work done? The recent global shifts and what happened during the pandemic taught us that flexibility in work arrangements, be it remote, flexible hours, or a hybrid model, is not just possible, but in many cases, it's our new reality. This flexibility, or the concept of this flexibility, can be challenging to implement for our field personnel, and it may require us to rethink how we manage projects, communicate, and collaborate, ensuring that every team member, so that's both whether you're in the office or on site or a remote site, or you are in the field, that you feel connected and engaged. And that brings us to the fifth area for future-proofing, is this concept of connected leadership. And I call this that you're leading with empathy and understanding. So connected leadership is about more than just overseeing projects and managing teams. It's about creating a web of communication, collaboration, and support that encompasses or includes every member of your organization. At the heart of connected leadership lies empathy, right? You can look at empathy being the heartbeat of that connected leader. And that really means that you're understanding the unique challenges and needs of our team members, both in the office and in the field. It will allow us to create a more inclusive, supportive, and productive work environment. This empathy enables us to tailor a leadership approach, a communication approach, to meet each member, not where we want them to be, but where they are. And we're able to provide guidance, resources, and the flexibility in the individual investment that can help them excel. I would encourage you to look through the past episodes of this series to even get a greater context and some more takeaways if you haven't listened to those. But as we continue to look to the future, the lessons from our Winning the Workforce series lay a foundation for organizational and personal success. So by understanding and addressing the needs of our employees, fostering a strong company culture, aligning with our core values, and prioritizing the development, both personal and professional, of our employees, we prepare to lead the future of work. So I hope that you've found this series helpful. If so, it will be great to hear from you. You can use the link in the show notes to take the audio survey and let us know your thoughts or ask a question. You can leave a comment if you're looking at this on YouTube or on any of the social media platforms. The next couple of weeks, there are going to be a few surprises in store. One is going to include an interview with some business owners that have recently transitioned from direct management of a company. So I think that's going to be really cool. And then there are going to be some topics that I'm going to cover that we have not covered at all on the podcast, may have alluded to them, but not covered in any detail. So I'm going to end this podcast episode like I end every podcast episode, and that's this. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it, and there's a select group of people that actually follow through, do it, and are living the life of their dreams. It is my desire that you become part of that select few. I want you to be great this week. This is Dr. James Bryant, your guide for winning at work and at home. Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Engineer Your Success with Dr. James Bryant. Do me a favor and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it, and a small fraction of people actually do it. I believe that you can have success both in business and in life, and it's my passion to guide you on your path to engineering your success. Thanks.